All right. Hey, everybody. Good morning to each one of you, or good afternoon, depending on when you are listening and wherever you are right now. I do continue praying for each one of you during what is no doubt this very challenging, this very difficult time. And as many of you are doing, I also continue praying for our doctors, our nurses, all of our healthcare workers, our businesses, our business owners and employees, our grocery workers. The list really goes on and on, right? There is no one that is not touched by this. This current reality is absolutely affecting anyone and everyone. As others have put it, it all seems very surreal, strange, odd. I've heard words like disorienting, confusing, unsettling, right? This recognition that our familiar ways of going about the days and weeks, suddenly it's no more, right? The familiar routines are gone. And while that is true, there is another truth that remains, a truth that was spoken some 3,000 years ago, a truth that I think can lead us through times like we are facing, times like today, the challenges and the difficulties, the troubles, right? A truth recorded in what is called the Book of Proverbs, a truth that calls us to a particular way of facing the reality, whatever is that reality, be it COVID-19 or something else, but a truth that offers a way through, a paradigm, if you will, for navigating all of the uncertainty and the confusion, all of the disorientation, noting that it doesn't always change that reality, but invites us into a way through, a paradigm, a perspective. And so if you have a Bible with you right now, you can turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. If you've been around the Bible or the church for any length of time, this is likely a familiar passage to you. In fact, many of us probably have it memorized. But I think it's important to remind ourselves that whatever we are facing, there is a pattern. There is this paradigm that can help us to see our way through. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, we read of this paradigm, this pattern. 3 and 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." Again, noting these words are ascribed to a man who lived some 3,000 years ago, a man by the name of Solomon. He was the son of a king, the son of King David. And when his father dies, Solomon becomes what is the third king of Israel. Noting that Solomon is relatively young when he becomes king and is given the responsibility then of building the temple. And so one night, God communicates with Solomon in a dream. And I want to read for just a moment another passage, important kind of for the context. So maybe you keep your finger in Proverbs, but we will come back to that. But for just a moment, to help kind of set this up, I want to read from 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. This is to give just a bit of the backstory to what is happening. So 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, we'll read through verse 12. It says, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give you.' Verse 6, Solomon answered, 'You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You've continued this great kindness to him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?'" Verse 10, "The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, 'Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be.'" So here is young Solomon, we could say overwhelmed, right, with the burden of ruling this nation. In fact, he says to God, "I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties." In other words, God, I do not have a clue what I'm doing, right? And with that, then we can imagine he is perhaps feeling disoriented, confused, perhaps even unsettled, right? He's entering a season and an experience that is not familiar. The familiar ways of going about his days and weeks, right, for Solomon are suddenly no more, right? The familiar is gone. And so he asks for a discerning heart. And God, he responds, I will do what you have asked. I will give you, Solomon, I will give you a wise and discerning heart. Now, maybe you don't feel so young anymore, but all of us, especially now at this time, I think can relate to, albeit different contexts, different circumstances for sure, but all of us have that sense of this all feels pretty overwhelming. Disoriented, confused, unsettled. And so how do we navigate such a time as this? And it's here that I think Solomon gives us some insight, a truth really that offers us a way through, a paradigm for navigating all of the uncertainty and the confusion, all of the disorientation. Again, noting that it doesn't necessarily change reality, but invites us into a way through, paradigm, a perspective. A way, a paradigm, we could say a perspective, right, that goes the way of Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So Solomon starts here with trust in the Lord. And in the Hebrew, that word trust literally means to completely lean into. I remember years ago, I entered into a process of healing from childhood abuse. And as part of our experience, we were invited to do what is called a trust fall. And at this particular time, I stood on the edge of a picnic table, and I fell backwards into the locked arms of the group. And it was, for me, absolutely beyond terrifying. And I could easily add to that, disorienting, confusing, and unsettling. But it was that sense of letting go, of trusting, of completely leaning into. Right? It's that kind of a trust, what is batach in the Hebrew. What is a perspective, a paradigm that goes the way of complete and utter devotion? Think of it as that way of total commitment, right? This kind of joining together, what is that place of communion? I'm reminded here of the story of Jean-Francois Gravelet, known as the Great Blondine. He was the first tightrope walker to appear at Niagara Falls. It was on June 30th, the year 1859. The rope was in position, and at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it is said that Blondine started his trip that was to make history. As he began his journey toward the Canadian shore, he paused, steadied the balancing pole, and suddenly executed a back somersault. Now, it's also said that never content to merely repeat his last performance, Blondine then crossed again, this time on a bicycle. He also crossed on, walked blindfolded. And then he announced that on August 19th, he would cross the gorge carrying his manager, Harry Colcord, on his back. Blondine later confessed that the trip had been difficult, but on that day, Harry Colcord had demonstrated absolute trust. We might say wholly leaning into, right? He didn't just think or say that Blondine could make the trip, but he entrusted his very life to him. Right, trust in the Lord, Solomon writes, wholly lean into God. And Solomon says it's there. Begin there. In those times that feel overwhelming, terrifying, disorienting, confusing, unsettling, begin there with batach. Completely lean into, climb on his back. He will see us across, right, the high wire of life. Our path, our way is always to begin there, right? Trust in the Lord. As it says in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Right? Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, lean into God. We begin with that, trust in the Lord, and then we read, it says, with all your heart. And I love here how one commentary phrases this. Quote, with all your heart is to concentrate the whole life on the active contemplation of God. That is unquote. That is to place all of you, right? All of you that is you, all of who you are, placed wholly leaning into the person of God. All your faith, your hope, your trust, all of your commitment, all of your devotion, right? Your full dependence. As the story goes, there was a chicken and a pig. They were walking down the road together one day when they came to a sign in front of a building, and it read, "Annual fundraiser, ham and egg breakfast." So the chicken says to the pig, "Hey, that is right up our alley. Why don't we go in and help out?" To which the pig replied, "That's easy for you to say. For you, that's just a contribution. For me, we are talking total commitment." Right? Trust in the Lord, it says, with all your heart. And then we read, "And lean not on your own understanding." Understanding comes from the Hebrew bina. It means to build or to construct. It also carries this idea of between, as in the ability to distinguish between what is right and wrong, between what is true and false. And so in effect, don't build, don't construct, don't put your faith, your hope, your trust in your own ability to get it right, to discern, right, the path, the way forward. Don't lean into that way of doing life. Rather, wholly lean with all of you that is you into God, right? Lean wholly into, trust God with every fiber of your being, total commitment, complete devotion, all of your dependence. Trust in the Lord, right? Wholly lean into God with all of your heart, every fiber of your being, and lean not on your own understanding, right? Constructing your life, building your life on your own sense of what is right and wrong, your own sense of what is true and false. And then verse 6, in all your ways, meaning the totality of your life, right? Meaning all your choices, in all your ways, every path you take, every road you travel, every detail of life, in all your ways, in everything. And then it says, submit to him. Now stay with me here, because that word submit, it's from the Hebrew word yada. And deeper than simply submit, it's this idea of to know and be known. It's the same word from Psalm 46:10, be still and know, be still and yada, that I am God. And it really speaks of this deep knowing, this deep intimacy. Again, that idea of trust. In fact, yada and her Greek counterpart, gnosko, both words express what is the reproduction of another. In fact, gnosko was a Jewish idiom for sexual intimacy. It carries this idea of a sense of oneness, of unity, of being with. Which is to say, it's not primarily speaking of an intellectual sort of submission here. Rather, yada speaks of a deep knowing, a closeness, even an affection. Think a deep intimacy. It's not a head knowledge so much as an experience of the heart. We could say it's a oneness of heart, mind, soul, strength. Trust in the Lord, wholly lean into God with all your heart, every fiber of your being. Lean not on your own understanding, right? Not constructing your life on your own sense of what is the way, but rather in all of life, right? The totality of your life and all of your decisions, every path you take, every road you travel, every detail of life, in everything, yada, right? Cultivate this deep, holistic relationship with me. God says, right? Trust me, be with me, live with me, present in every aspect, every moment of life. And then we read, and he, God, will make your paths straight. Note here that this final stanza, this last line, it is the promise. Also noting the phrase, will make straight, comes from the Hebrew word yashau. It's the same word found in Isaiah 45:2, where it simultaneously means to make the crooked places straight, to level the mountains, to make the rough places smooth. It also carries this idea of to be pleasing. And so we have trust in the Lord, right? Wholly lean into God with all your heart, every fiber of your being. Lean not on your own understanding, not constructing your life on your own sense of what is the way, but rather in all of life, right, the totality of your life and all of your decisions, every path you take, every road you travel, every detail of life, in everything, yada, cultivate a deep, holistic relationship with him. Trust him, be with him, live with God present in every aspect, moment of life, and he, God, will make the crooked places straight. He will level the mountains. He will make the rough places smooth. All of which leads me then to invite us to consider, where are we? Where are we putting our trust? We could ask, on what or on whom are you leaning? On what or on whom are you building, constructing your life? And with that, then, we could also ask, what might it look like for you to yada, submit, to know, right, to cultivate that deep holistic. In fact, we could ask, how might you cultivate a deep holistic relationship with God? Life today, for sure, it all seems very surreal, strange, odd. And it can feel so very disorienting and confusing and unsettling, right? The recognition that our familiar ways of going about the days and weeks, our familiar routines, are gone, at least for now. And yet it is in just such a time that we are offered a way through, right? This paradigm for navigating all of the uncertainty and confusion, all of the disorientation, right? This invitation, if you will, to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you that you invite us into, as we've considered, that place of rest, that you invite us to experience joy even in the midst of these trying times. Thank you that you invite us into a relationship with you to trust you, that we might know, that we might lean into you, that we might experience a deep relationship with you, and in that place that you would lead us through, that you would go before us, that you would make the crooked path straight, that you would level the mountains, that you would make the rough places smooth. We give you thanks. In your precious name we pray. Amen.